Blog Talk Radio.
Joined by the movie maven herself, Miss Karen D. How you doing, Karen?
I'm doing great, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Been quite an interesting week. I got some visit from family on my birthday from me.
Oh, no.
We both had a birthday. Our birthday is only a few days apart, so.
Oh, my goodness.
Family came down, and it was kind of cool. To have
oh, you survived the family visit.
I did. I survived a family visit, indeed. Well, we've got a different family that's joining us tonight. Welcome to the show, listeners. And today we're going to talk about Paul Walker. Now, recently, in recent weeks, sadly, Paul Walker passed away. And in recent weeks, people have been doing a lot of memorializing of him, even long after his leaving us here. So I thought about, you know, maybe it'd be a good time to talk about some of Paul Walker's movies. Now, everybody knows about the movies, Karen, that are the Fast and the Furious, that series of films with Vin Diesel and all the cast of characters in there, where Paul Walker is pretty popular as one of the actors from that series. But I wanted to talk about some films that really didn't have anything to do with that series. And actually, my introduction to Paul Walker in one of the films that we'll be discussing, which is Running Scared, and then another take on Paul Walker's acting in the movie Takers. So how'd you like those films? You just think they were pretty decent?
Well, I don't have a really strong opinion about Running Scared, except that it's just so, I don't know, I'm not even sure what the words are. It's just such a huge mess. I mean, the movie chronicles such a huge mess of affairs that it's hard to keep track of what's going on from one second to the next. It's almost like this, like, out-of-control roller coaster where you just hang on to the back and you just hang on as long as you can for dear life, and you don't try to figure anything out along the way. That was my take of Running Scared. And Takers is just, you know, kind of interesting, this notion of these, bad guys who are, like, really, really smart bad guys, except you would think they'd be too smart to be bad guys, but that's a whole other can of worms. But, you know, they're smart but lazy, too lazy to have real jobs, so they make a profession out of robbing banks, which, guess what, sounds like a real job, but anyway. And they elevate it to a fine art, so, and everything's fine until somebody starts not trusting somebody else in the gang. And this whole finely oiled machine, guess what? The big oil is trust. The oil that flows through all the engine parts and makes them work is trust. And when that goes away, everything else starts falling, kind of like dominoes. So, well, what did you think of the movies, Greg?
I agree with you for the most part for both of them, really, but even more so for Running Scared. I think what I really enjoyed about Running Scared was at the time when that came out, The movies that I had seen, they were pretty decent, I guess, for the most part. But, you know, it was a very smooth, kind of slow-paced or medium-paced films. And then Running Scared is just like the movie title. You're running the whole time, and everybody's scared of everybody else, and you're trying to follow along the theme of the movie, and everything's moving so quickly that it's hard. You know, if you're watching it in the theater, you're not going to catch your breath. If you're watching it at home on DVD, then you may need to take probably 4 breaks each quarter of the film just to slow it down a little bit so you can go, okay, this is what happened. All right, yeah, okay, I can start the film back up again. I feel sorry for the people who actually saw it in the theater in that realm because it's so fast-paced. But just like anything else, it's so fast-paced that the time goes by quickly. And you're talking about a movie, the length of a movie is shortened because of the action that's going on. And it's a really good film in that regard. It's a decent storyline for the most part. And I just really enjoyed Paul Walker in it.
What did you enjoy about Paul Walker?
Paul Walker, he is in this, his character in this film is actually twofold. I won't get into a lot of detail about his character in that regard, but he is, the way that he is, well, let's do this. Let's set the premise. The premise of this film is about a gun. A gun in the wrong hands. And Paul Walker was responsible, his character is responsible for this gun being either destroyed or finding its way nowhere near the town. He's supposed to get rid of it. That's basically the essence of this. And because of what he does, he doesn't realize that everything he does from then on puts this whole film into motion. And a lot of the violence and a lot of the things that are happening in this film may not have occurred had he not been a little careless. And so now you're watching Paul Walker, his demeanor changes. He's a loving husband, but all of a sudden now his demeanor changes and he's just frantic. He goes from frantic to being sensitive, to being manic, to being sensitive, and it's a roller coaster for him, just like the movie is a roller coaster. And watching him change from one person to the next person, being a tough guy when he had to be, being understanding and emotional when he needed to be, he does a really good job of transitioning from one part of the character to the other part of the character. All this because of the secret that he holds within the realms of this film. And I thought he did an excellent job of doing that and finding the different personas of this same person. Not so different, but different enough for you to understand and see really good acting by this guy. And don't get me wrong, this wasn't, as I said in my preface of the film, of these films, this wasn't a blockbuster Hollywood movie. This was one of those movies that's kind of the diamond in the rough, in my opinion. And Paul Walker was able to bring this movie, along with some of the other actors in the film, to life.
Chaz Palminteri was in this movie.
I was going to say your guy Chaz Palminteri was in the film, as you alluded to there. And although he did more of his role wasn't a large role in the film, it was definitely poignant. And got a lot of this crazy, got a lot of this craziness going from the beginning. So it was riveting in that regard. But I just like Paul Walker's character, and he established this guy. And the ending is such a surprise for, I think, the audience and anybody watching. And even some of the characters within the film, this is a big surprise about his character. So I really enjoyed the film. And I didn't try to make it too I wasn't trying to be overly critical because it was one of those films that it was so fast-paced that that's what got my interest. And once I start watching the film, I had to see the ending because, I was on the ride now. He brought me on the ride. And it's ironic, we're not talking about Fast and the Furious, but yet I felt like I was in a – a race car or a souped-up vehicle trying to get around and see what was going on because I needed to be there just like they needed to be there.
Hmm.
Now, the other aspects of the film were a little quirky, and a lot of things in the movie are kind of over the top, but because of the pace of the film, you ignore a lot of that stuff. It's like you don't have time for that. You got to get to the
it
next.
It sounds
spot,
totally
to the
over the top.
Spot.
I mean,
get to
just
the next spot.
It sounds
yeah,
completely
but,
and totally over the top, like completely
is.
Unreal.
It, but you know what? And because of the things that are going on in the film and how crazy the world is, you don't look at it as being too crazy. In this film, because we see so many, sadly, we see so many crazy things that happen in the world, that this film just emulates some of those things and maybe exaggerates a little bit, but it's still things that can happen and could happen in life,
mm-hmm.
just jumbled up into this one film. But Paul Walker's character still remains relatively the catalyst, other than just the gun in the entire film. So I thought that was really good.
Well,
now.
I have a question for you before you go on, because what I think our audience might be interested in is just, I mean, like you said, this is a guy who died ostensibly before and certainly before anyone expected him to. He was a very young man when he died, and certainly had a very long movie-making feature ahead of him. If he had lived long enough to realize it, it's not unlike James Dean, frankly, brings that to mind very much. But what I'm wondering is, can you talk about sort of, you know, what in that movie, Running Scared, maybe The Takers, maybe made him a suitable guy for the Fast and Furious series, or what were some unique characteristics about Paul Walker as an actor that are sort of, I don't know, long-lasting?
Okay. First of all, to go to the comparison, I think his life and situation, because, again, he is an actor, is very similar to that of James Dean. Again, very untimely deaths, a lot having to do with speed and vehicles and things of that nature. It's just kind of an ironic thing. We always hear the adage, life repeating itself. And this is clearly one of those scenarios that's very similar to life repeating itself in how these two gentlemen passed. But I think I've watched a lot of movies with Paul Walker prior to the Fast and the Furious. Paul Walker he's made a lot of films, actually. And I think a lot of the early films for him would be considered kind of like B-movies or C-movies even. But the irony was that the redeeming quality of each of those films was him and how he was able to portray the characters that he did. Now, whether or not the film made it as a good film or not, it doesn't all rest on the shoulders of one actor, but at the same time, I thought he carried himself well. And going into more recent films like the Fast and Furious films, I think there's an honesty about his acting. I think there is a way that he has to get people to relate to his character. And clearly he has a very expressive face. He's not a bad-looking guy in general in the first place.
Right.
And so that is going to bring some people to the box office just because of his looks, but not just the look, but his expression. One of the things that you hope that actors are going to do is bring you into the situation. And it seems to me the films that I've seen of him, he's brought me into the situation where sometimes other actors in other films and the films that he's in are not engaging me. And fortunately for some of these films, whether they be the B films or even A-listed type films that Paul Walker has been able to get into, I think I'm much more engaged because I'm much more interested in the character that he's developed within the realms of the film. Now, we don't know if those characters were going to be great characters if someone else played them or not.
Right.
But I found that, for me, his legacy, if nothing else, his legacy is that he's been able to engage me and get me involved. There are other actors, and, you know, I'm a fan of Vin Diesel, to be honest with you. And and help me here, Karen. I don't know why I can't think of the singer-actor that's in the Fast and Furious who was really, really good friends with Paul Walker in real life.
We mean besides Vin Diesel?
Yeah, black actor. I don't know why I can't think of his name. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
and of course, I
singer actor. I'm trying to bring it up real quick, but anyway, before just other actors who I think are decent actors. I don't know, not know why I can't think of his name.
Give me a second.
But anyway, Paul Walker seems to me to be one of those actors who, you know, I'm going to watch the film because he's in it. And even if the film is not that great, I know that his character will be pretty decent. And I understand the movie a lot better because he's in it. And it gives me this ability to really understand what's actually going on. The actor that I was thinking about...
it's not Laz Alonso, is it?
No, it's not Laz Alonso, although I like Laz Alonso, too.
I do like Laz Alonso, but I never thought of him as a singer. Who are you thinking of?
It's Tyrese Gibson. I couldn't, for the life of me, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I could not get that in my head. But I think Tyrese is actually a decent actor. I mean, there's a lot of different actors that are around him that are pretty good. I mean, in this series, you've had Eva Mendes, who I think is decent. Even Chris Bridges, who's Ludacris, for you music people out there, a pretty decent actor. But I still think that Paul Walker's character is a, if nothing, he's a character actor who brings everybody together within the realms of these movies, and of course in the Fast and the Furious movies as well. So I don't know. I really, really am a big fan. I am definitely a fan. So we've got about 10 minutes left. Maybe we should talk about Takers a little bit too.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, go ahead.
What did he do to distinguish himself in Takers versus what he did? I mean, in the first movie, Running Scared, he's one person who is under lots of different situations and has to act differently because of the press or the immediacy of those situations. So it's like it's an adrenaline rush, and the adrenaline rush fuels a different type of person, a different type of reaction. From an acting standpoint, that takes a certain type of acting chops, and I think that's very difficult to pull off convincingly without it looking like you're following a script or that, you know, that you're following directions or somebody's guiding you along. To make it look natural and as if you're acting organically because you're really in the situation is very difficult to pull off, I think. So I think if you can do that convincingly, and from what you say about his performance in Running Scared, he did, that would establish you as somebody who, you know, has street cred as an actor, shall we say, quote-unquote street cred. So then you go to Takers, which is an entirely different film, and probably a much more cerebral film, if you ask me.
Okay.
So what does he do in Takers to distinguish himself when he doesn't have those sort of overt demands on acting chops that a movie like Running Scared would have.
Well, in Takers, we find there's a group of basically bank robbers. Each person has their own personality. The directors or the film itself, you get to meet each one of them a little bit individually. But the actors that are stressed a little bit more than others are Idris Elba's character, Paul Walker's character, Michael Ealy's character, and T.I. They're truly the main characters within the realms of this film. Everyone else is kind of secondary. Although there's interesting parts and interesting things about each of the other characters, not enough to for them to spend as much time. So as I'm looking at this film, it seems to me, even in the realms of all these different people, not truly having a leader per se, it seems to me Idris Elba's character and Paul Walker's character, and maybe a little bit Michael Ealy, seem to be really the primary people within the realms of the quote-unquote bank robbing gang.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Paul Walker is a catalyst in this film as well, because after they've done a really successful heist, what they usually do is take a hiatus. Ironically, they're smart enough to know that they need to invest their money, and so they actually have an investment broker in this film. And so they're doing all the right things with their quote-unquote stolen money so that they can retire young. And they're all relatively young, retrospectively. And
right.
So they're just trying to be smart with the monies that they've taken so that, A, they can't be caught with what they've done. They're very smart with regard to how they do things. But it seems to me that the primary leaders here are Idris Elba and Paul Walker. Now, after everything's done, the voice of reason usually is Idris Elba. Trying to make sure things are organized is Idris Elba. And
mm-hmm.
seemingly Paul Walker kind of steps back and supports him in the things that he says. So now everyone seems to like everybody for the most part. And so the core of the gang likes each other so much, so they just tend to go with what they say. Now, Paul Walker in this particular film is the catalyst which changes everything. Although the evil root in this particular film is T.I. coming out of prison, a former member of the same gang. Actually, he and Idris Elba actually started the gang. If you're listening very closely to the banter that's being displayed within the film. But now it's pretty much Idris Elba and Paul Walker and everybody else. So T.I. ends up at Paul Walker's home. He breaks in and he waits for Paul Walker to get there. Paul Walker gets there, you know, he's smart enough to realize something's not right as he walks in his own door. And so
mm-hmm.
now he's looking around. He's already pulled his gun, and he's already looking around like, you know, something's not right. And then T.I. says something, so they have a conversation. And this is the conversation that changes everything. So in this particular film, yeah, he might not be standing out, but he's pivotal, as the utilizing your word, pivotal, and mind poignant, because this is where it all changes. T.I. is telling him about a gig that they can get into, this major heist that they can get into, and Paul Walker is the one he has to convince, and he knew that he had to convince him, because if he doesn't convince him, no one else is going to listen. That
right.
is a subtle power, and being in power, empowered, as part of the a major part of the of this bank robbing syndicate, we'll say. And he's coming to this person because he knows this is the person that's going to be able to persuade everybody else. Michael Ealy and T.I. share something that makes them too hot-headed, makes Michael Ealy too hot-headed to be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Idris Elba has known T.I. for a long time, and even with the realms of them starting this whole thing, he's never truly trusted him. Totally.
Right.
So, T.I. did the smart thing. He's got to go with somebody who, A, has a big standing, a large standing within the realms of the gang. He has to talk to somebody who he knows is going to be a calming factor, and he had to talk to somebody who's going to be persuasive enough to get them all to do this. And that's what Paul Walker does in this film. He is persuasive. He's a good-looking guy. He dresses well. He talks well. He sees the big picture and sees how positive things can be if they actually do this thing. Now, even he didn't really want to do this quickly. But, again, T.I. is very good at being persuasive enough with the carrot that he's dangling in front of everybody, knowing that they're going to go for this particular thing, even though we find out later that T.I. has ulterior motives. So Paul Walker may not be the overly charismatic person or the gregarious person in this film, but his subtlety in this film is good enough to, A, persuade everybody in the gang that this is a good thing to do. So I think he does a really good job in acting in that regard, because he didn't have to be Idris Elba. He didn't have to be Michael Ealy. And those are very strong personalities in this film. He didn't have to be any of those characters to still make a difference and be persuasive. So maybe not as crazy and maybe not as everything really just weighed heavily on his character to pull off a lot of the film like in the prior movie. But he does it subtly in this movie, and I think that is not just a contrast, but shows that he is a good actor.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think there are these parallels between James Dean, who, you know, I think James Dean was in his 20s when he died in a fiery car crash. Paul Walker was in his early 40s when he died in a fiery car crash. But do you think that Paul Walker has the same kind of range that James Dean is now recognized as having? And I guess let me preface that by saying, maybe people in Hollywood understood how different and talented James Dean was because he was doing something that really hadn't been done in Hollywood-type movies before. But I think it's with stepping back, especially with the perspective of 50 years, that you really begin to appreciate his artistry. Do you think that sort of thing can happen, or has it happened with Paul Walker?
Hard to say, because of the types of films that both actors have done in their situation. James Dean not having the opportunity to do anywhere near as many films as Paul Walker, but now we're in the realms of Hollywood where there's so many things out there that are helpful. I think, and that's just my opinion, classic Hollywood was a time where acting was premium, and all these other things that were surrounding you, props and you know, all those things that, you know, helped the films. It wasn't as much of that then. It was more acting. I think a lot of props and special effects have altered that to somewhat. But at the same time, I think there is a character, a quality about Paul Walker that I thought he was going to be a really successful actor, and I think he was going to get better roles. He just needed to be here. Sorry to say we're actually running out of time, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to thank Karen D for hanging out and talking about Paul Walker with us. Wish I had more time. So I'd like to say to everybody, if you get an opportunity to see these films, please do. Paul Walker, I think he deserves that. Thanks again for listening, and make sure you get out to the movies, everybody. Take care. And we're leaving you here from a real point of view. Come join us next week, and hopefully we'll have something even more interesting to talk about. Take care, ladies and gentlemen. Bye, Karen.
Night.